We're going to be in Psalm 86 this evening. If you want to take your Bibles to Psalm 86, I want to read some verses at the read the opening verses and the concluding verses of the psalm. It's a psalm of David when he was in one of many difficult, tight spots in his life. This was par for the course for David all through his life. There was never a time that he had no troubles at all. And this is life. This is reality. This is the Christian life. And I hope that we will draw some encouragement tonight from God's word, from David's relationship with God and his prayers. It's neat. Many of the Psalms are prayers. It's just an open door to the heart of David as he's communicating. We see his relationship with God. We see what a real relationship with God is like. And I hope that we will see that even this evening and take some principles and truths that we can put into our hearts. So let's start reading Psalm 86 and verse 1. It says, a prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. And so you see David anticipating times, and he's in one of these seasons, one of these difficult times of trouble. And we see that it is not just the difficulties of life, but it's enemies. It is people who are actively out to get him. And let's skip down to verse 14 and see that. It says, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. I've entitled the message tonight, A Token for Good, from that last verse there, where David says, God, I've got a lot of troubles. I've got a lot of enemies pressing in on me, and I need help. And I pray that you will show me a token for good. And I want to look at this concept, this thought about a token for good this evening. I want to look at three areas that God can often, the trials and difficulties come into a Christian's life, and God often will bring people low so that he can deliver them and show them that token for good. And he often does it for different reasons. Or if I can say it this way, he often does it for different audiences to behold, that others may see it. And so I want to look at three tokens tonight. And first of all, I want to look at a token for the discouraged. So many times there are Christians who are living the Christian life and they are weary and they are trodden down. They are discouraged at all that's going on in their lives. And sometimes they wonder, is God even there anymore? If he is, does he love me anymore? Is he on my side? Is he for me? I have no idea what to think anymore. Life is totally flipped upside down, and people get to their wits' end. They're so discouraged, and sometimes what we need is a token for good. What we don't mean, by the way, when we ask God for a token for good, is that we're not asking God to give us a sign as to whether or not we should obey him or follow him, or stay with him. We know that from his word. We never need more from God in that. We never need another sign. Sometimes even believers ask for things like that. Remember the story of Gideon. God came to Gideon one day and asked him to be a judge for Israel, to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And Gideon, first of all, shows when God appears to him, he shows what his heart and really the heart of the whole nation of Israel was, that they were downtrodden, they were discouraged. Listen to Judges chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." They were pressed down. They were very discouraged to where they wondered, has God forsaken us? Where are his miracles? We need something. And so then Gideon, he asks God for a token, but not in the right way. And by the way, God was with Gideon and for him, and God kind of went along with his doubtings and so forth. But listen to what Gideon asked God. It's famous, the putting out of the fleece. In verses 36 and 37, Judges 6, 36, it says, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." So it's interesting. Gideon gives God a formula. And by the way, God does it, and then it's not good enough. He asks for God to reverse it and do it again. But what he says to God is, "God, I know that you have said something's going to happen, but I don't believe it. And I want you to prove to me that what you've said is going to happen." Basically saying, "God, I want you to prove to me that you're not a liar, that you're not just making this up. I need more proof." And so he asks God for a sign. Again, God does it, but this is not the faith that God wants from a child of God. And this is not the token for good that we are asking for. What we are asking for is that sometimes we don't have a command from God. We don't have a verse. Sometimes it feels like we're in the dark. What do I do? Where do I go? I have no idea. And there have been many believers throughout Christian history that have struggled with this discouragement and coming to the end of themselves and just needing something from God. I've talked to many Christians that have been through and in dark valleys. And you've heard the phrase that when it rains, it pours. And I've seen families and I've seen some individual believers where it seems like they go from one crisis to another. As soon as a problem starts to fix itself, as soon as God starts to bring it around, something else falls apart. And there's relationship disasters and work business disasters and medical health disasters. And sometimes they come upon an individual or family all at once. And it's like all you can do is try to keep your head above water and try not to drown. It feels like you're going down that third time, when the proverbial third time when you're going to drown. And many times people have been like this. Listen to what David says. This is another psalm of David, Psalm 142 and verse 4. This is when he was in the cave hiding for his life. He says, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." David was all alone. He couldn't find anyone to sympathize with him, to help him. All he had was God, and he needed something. Job was a similar one. He had lost everything, and then his friends, quote-unquote friends, with friends like these, who needs enemies? His friends come and begin to comfort him, but then they turn against him, and they pile on him, and he has no idea how things are going to work out. Elijah, And many of the prophets in their lives wondered, am I still on the right track? Is God still with me? Is God still for me? What do I do next? And many times we need just a token from God to reassure us that he's still there, that he's still on the throne, that he's still with us and for us, that he is still blessing us. And we don't need, you know, the word token here, we don't need for all of our problems to go away and to be solved immediately. We just need something, something small. God, give me anything that I can hang my hat on, that I can grab onto and say, I know at least this. I don't need to know everything, but I know that God is for me. And many times what we need to do as Christians is to allow, even before something else happens, we need to allow the small things of life to be those tokens for us. Things that we often take for granted. You know, just the fact that we're even praying this prayer means that we're still alive, means that we haven't been so forsaken that we are dead. We're still alive, meaning God has provided our needs to where we've had enough food to live, we've had enough clothes to survive, and we need to take those small, insignificant things sometimes and say, look, at least this shows that God hasn't totally cast me off. There's something. If you're saved, God has given you Jesus. And Romans 8, 31 and 32 says that if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, if God will give us Jesus, allow, even though you may not perceive him with you right now, allow that truth to reassure you that he is for me. If he gave me Jesus, he's going to give me all that I need, and who can be against me? But sometimes we just need a little token, something, an open door, a circumstance, sometimes a Bible verse that the Holy Spirit can just reach into our hearts and say, take a deep breath. Don't fret. Don't quit. I'm still with you. And we need a token for the discouraged. Number two, another token that I want to look at is a token for the doubter. And what I mean by the doubter here, and this can include believers and unbelievers. And I put unbelievers in a little bit of a separate category here, but maybe we could call it doubters slash searchers. These are people who are either, for unbelievers, they don't know whether or not Christianity is true. They don't know. They are looking for something, honestly. They want truth, but they don't know. And sometimes they need a token for good. And here's the way it often comes, and what's happening in this passage that we're looking at, is that there are trials in your life as a believer that then God can come and give a token for good so that another unbeliever can see in your life that God is real, that Christianity is true. Maybe there is something to this because I see that God hasn't forsaken that person. And sometimes there can be a token for good that will help those doubters. Sometimes even believers, we can be the doubters. And we need God to give us a token to reassure us. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 18. This is the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, when he is confronting the 450 prophets of Baal, and he's reaching out to the Israelites, the Jews, who have been between God and idol worship, Baal worship, and they are confused, they've been living in sin, and Elijah wants a token for them. So he puts this test. He has a competition with the Baal worshipers, the prophets of Baal. We're each going to have an altar with a bullock, and we're going to see whose God will bring down fire and burn up the sacrifice. And whichever God answers by fire, let him be God. And listen to Elijah's prayer for the people in 1 Kings 18, verse 36. It says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." These were some people that had been doubting. I don't know. By the way, they'd been living in sin. Because of that, God has brought judgment. There hasn't been rain for 3.5 years. And so because of that judgment, some of them are thinking, I don't even know if God is with us anymore. He hasn't given us rain. There's famine. And they're doubting. And Elijah prays for a token for good. He says, "God, I want you to do something in my life today so that the world may see it and that they would know that there is a God in Israel." And we need to live our lives in a way that sometimes we accept the trials, because by the way, only through the trials can God give deliverance from trials. And sometimes God in this deliverance, he'll give you a token for good in your life that other people may see it and know there's a God in the earth. There is a God in Christianity, and they can look and see your life and see your testimony. There is a testimony to our trials. Our trials that we go through, they're not just for ourselves. And if God gives us a token to encourage us, that's not the end. God wants to give us a token so that it can spread out, so that we can tell and show everyone around us. Remember Psalm 42 where it says, Psalm 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He brought me up. He set me on a rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord." And let God delivering you and giving you a token for good spread out. Don't hide it. Get it out on the housetops and tell the world, "God did this in my life." And many shall see it, see your testimony, and trust in the Lord. It's not wrong to pray for this as believers, that God would give us a token to show those that are doubting, but seeking that God's word is true and his ways are right. It's not wrong to pray this, but there are times that God will not do this. You know, God is not in the business of walking around and just trying to prove himself to all of the doubters in the world. He gives his word, and when people doubt it, God doesn't say, "Oh, you didn't believe my word? Well, hold on, don't leave. What about this? And what about this? And can I do some magic tricks for you? Can I jump through some hoops? Where do you want me to stand next?" That's not God. God is who he is. He is righteous, he is holy, and he has given his word. And even more than his word, he has given his son. He has revealed himself through Jesus. And sometimes he just says, "That's what you have. I want you to believe that." Let me look at a couple of examples of this. Luke chapter 16, some people came to Jesus one day asking for a sign. Maybe you could call it a token for good. But they had the wrong attitude. Luke 16:27. This is Matthew chapter 12. We'll get to Luke 16 in just a moment. Matthew chapter 12, 36, it says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Master, we would see a sign from thee.'" We don't believe you are who you are. Prove it to us. We want a miracle. Do something. Right. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Do a miracle. Here's what Jesus said. "But he answered and said unto them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So God is not in the business. Jesus is not in the business of just going around and proving himself over and over and over again. He doesn't owe anything to us as the world, to us as doubters. Listen to Luke 16, verse 27. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. They both died, and the rich man says, "Send Lazarus back from the dead to tell my brothers about this place so they don't come here." Verse 27, it says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." In other words, they have the Old Testament. They have the word of God. Let them listen to the word of God. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." You know, sometimes God doesn't do the magic tricks, because the magic tricks alone, so to speak, they wouldn't prove it. If you're looking for proof, you could always be looking for more. So it's not wrong to pray for a token so that the world could believe. But know this, that a token is not just going to automatically make them believe, because God has given token and token and token. Jesus did miracles after miracles, and he rose from the dead, and they still didn't believe. Jesus said to Thomas that it is easier to believe something when you see it. But he said, "Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed." And this is the kind of faith God is looking for. Because if I won't believe until I see a sign, if I won't believe until I see it, then what happens next time when my problem's even bigger and what I saw last time isn't good enough? What if I need to see something else even bigger and more? See, God, that's not the way to go. God says, "I want you to believe without seeing." And if you can believe without seeing this, you can believe anything. You can make it through any trial and any test. But there are times that God will give a token to the doubting to help them believe. He did give Thomas that token. Thomas says, "Unless I see the Lord and put my hands, thrust my hand in his side and see the fingers, put my fingers in the holes of the nails, I won't believe." Jesus gave him that token. He did appear to him. But he says, "I want greater faith than that." There are times that God will give a token for the doubting to help them believe. And then number three, the third token I want to look at, is a token for the defiant. The doubting are people that they're kind of on the fence. I don't know. I'm not sure that God is real. I'm not sure the Bible is right, but I'm maybe open to it. What we're talking about here with the defiant is people that they are the enemies of God. They want nothing to do with God. Their greatest goal in life is to disprove and to put down God and his word. And David was often surrounded by these people in his life. Listen to Psalm 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." And this is the context that David is in when he has these enemies, and they are fighting against God. By the way, the enemies here are not just the enemies of David. They're the enemies of David because they're the enemies of God. And what we're talking about tonight is persecution and having enemies, not because we are obnoxious, not because we just can't get along with people, because we rub people the wrong way. We're talking about we are being righteous. We're living for God. We're walking with God, and people hate us because of that. They hate us because they hated Jesus first. So Psalm 86 and verse 17, in that context, David says, "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me." God, give me a token. I pray that you would bless me in a way that as my enemies persecute me and you help me out of it, that they would see that. They would see that token and they would know God is real. God is powerful. He is for him. And then it says they are ashamed because they've been fighting against God and because their efforts have come to nothing. As Christians, we are often surrounded by people that hate God and would love nothing more than to see his people and his cause come to nothing. They persecute believers, often in a very irrational way, showing that they are the children of and motivated by the devil. And so what we should pray for in these situations is a sign for them, a token for good, a sign from God that he is blessing us. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 6 and verses 15 and 16. Nehemiah was trying to build the wall to bless Jerusalem, to bless Israel. And there were many enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and many others. And they were fighting against it. They were trying to, they took different tactics. They just tried to laugh at them and insult them and see if that would stop them. When it didn't, they tried to get letters from the king to shut them down. They actively fought. They got an army and fought against them. And nothing stopped them. And finally, it says this, Nehemiah 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. It had sat for years broken down, and nobody thought it was possible to rebuild it. They rebuilt it in 52 days, just a month and a half. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. They fought against the people of God. And when all of their efforts came to nothing, they realized this has to be God. This is more than just these feeble Jews. This is more than just these people. They have no idea what they're doing. This must be God. And it says when they saw that token for good, that God helped them overcome and build the wall successfully, it says they were basically ashamed, as David prayed. They were much cast down in their own eyes. They were discouraged because their efforts against God and against his people had failed. That is what we should pray for. And by the way, here's a caution. Whenever we pray for this, we are not talking about us versus them. This is not me or you against the world. And God, I pray that you would give them an "I told you so." I pray that you would show them that I'm right. You see, it's not about us. It's not about you and me. This is about God. These people hated David because they hated God. They hated Nehemiah and the Jews because they hated God. And when we pray for a token for good, that the enemies, that our enemies and the enemies of God would be ashamed, this is not about us versus them. This is about the name and the glory and the testimony of God. Psalm 115 verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? That's a great prayer to put into your prayer life. God, do not glorify me in this world. Only glorify your name. I'm not in this for what I can get out of it. I'm in this for you. And we need to make sure that this prayer for a token for good is not for us, but it's for the name of God to go forth and to be glorified. What we're striving for as Christians is to represent God and his will and his work. And as we're doing that, we pray for God to validate himself to the world. See, our ultimate goal should be that the enemies of God become reconciled to him and believe in him, not just that we prove to them that they are wrong and then usher them off to hell. That should never be the motivation of a child of God. Love is to be the overarching principle, not revenge or, as I said, giving people an "I told you so," so that we can be right. When Jesus had enemies, he wept over them. And he died for them. When Paul had enemies, He wept over them. He says, Lord, I pray that I myself could be accursed for my kinsmen according to the flesh, the Jews, that they might be saved. When we have enemies, we don't hate them. We don't want this token for good so we can shove it in their face. We want them to see and for God to use that to change their hearts. Now, it might not. They may be hardened by what they see, like Pharaoh. They may go on to their destruction. And by the way, God is glorified there also. But our goal, our heart for them should be that God uses it like a hammer to break the rock of their heart, to smash their will so that they humble themselves and believe. Never get in the flesh and ask for God to show the world that you are right. It's not about us. Will we allow ourselves to be vessels in the hand of God for the world? So what's this token for good again? Going back to the beginning. The token for good is that God's people are having great difficulties and trials and maybe persecution and enemies. And then the token for good comes. Do you want to be involved in that token for good? Are you willing for your life to be used by God to have whatever trials, to have whatever difficulties and persecution, and then pray that God, I pray that you'd give me a token for good so that I can shine for you to the world. This is not about me. I am willing to go down so that I can be delivered so that the world can see your glory. It's not about our comfort and our ease. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9 talks about the apostles. Paul says, for I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Are you willing to be a spectacle? Are you willing to suffer, to go through whatever difficulties so that the world can see, and by the way, here's another angle on this, so that the world can see how to suffer with joy. So the world can see that God can bring someone through a great difficulty and they say, wow, I want that because I have difficulties and I have no idea how to handle it. That person knows how to handle it. Are we willing to be that empty vessel? We're not filled with ourselves. We're empty, ready to be filled with whatever God brings our way so that we can be a shining light to the world. The token for good comes through bad, through difficulties. And then God will give a token for good so the world can see the glory of God. Are you willing to be that vessel in his hands? Again, sometimes God wants to suffer well before the world so that our patience is the token for good. Sometimes it's not that everything turns around and that's the token for good. Did you know that if you suffer well, that can be the token for good to the world? That they would see the glory of God. They would see Christianity is real. There is something to this, and I need it. Are we willing to live this life? Let's pray together.